Imam Ahmad Ridha, guiding souls with wisdom's grace, guiding souls with wisdom's grace. A grand mujaddid, a cherished embrace, a grand mujaddid, a cherished embrace.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Welcome dear viewers to another episode of our program Life of the Grand Reviver and inshallah in this episode we're going to cover the mannerisms of Imam Ahl Sunnah radiallahu anhu and in particular his way of showing adab, respect and ihtiram, reverence towards those who are deserving. Meaning there's a word ba'adab, being very respectful. Ala Hazrat was very very respectful. And the deen, this religion of Islam, we're told ad-deenu kulluhu adabun. It consists of adab in totality. The more adab you show to the people that are deserving of it, the more Allah Ta'ala will bless you. And no doubt, one of the factors behind Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma becoming such a prominent figure in his time, and even today, 100 years after he has passed away, it's because of that adab factor. It's because of the reverence he showed. He was knowledgeable himself. He imparted that knowledge to others, and he also had a great level of understanding when it came to adab, that who is to be shown adab, who is to be respected in light of Quran and Hadith. And subhanallah, we will hear from the examples that Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma set beautiful examples in this regard, and we believe because of that Allah Ta'ala blessed him immensely. So first of all, the mi'yar, the criterion is of course iman. Someone has to have iman, and then that person has to wholeheartedly love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and make efforts to follow him. So the person who possesses these two things, iman billah and muhabbatur rasul, love for the Prophet alaihi wasallam, respect for the Prophet alaihi wasallam, he is worthy of respect. Outwardly, externally, he claims to be a Muslim, but he is very neglectful in terms of respecting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh ma'adallah, his understanding, his wrong understanding of the deen is that the Prophet alaihi wasallam, na'udhu billah, is just a man like us, so why show extra respect or reverence? So this person, of course, it goes without saying, is not to be shown respect, because he is not respecting that blessed individual for whom Allah Ta'ala created the entire world, meaning our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So Ala Hazrat was an epitome of this. Al-hubbu fillah wal-bughdu fillah. He would love for the sake of Allah and he would hate for the sake of Allah. Whenever he came across insolent people, insolent individuals, who crossed the boundaries in disrespecting Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would be vocal about this. He would express his dismay, his anger at such people. And this is the requirement of faith. Now first of all, respecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us look at how Imam Ahl Sunnah radiallahu anhu would respect the dhat of Allah jalla wa ala. When we look at his masterpiece translation, Kanzul Iman, which we covered in a previous episode, we know that one of the outstanding features of this translation and why it makes it stand out, this translation stands out from all of the rest, is because of the usage of the most accurate and appropriate words for Allah, for His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the Awliya'i Kamilin and others. So in this translation, for the dhat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has used the most munasib, appropriate words. And he avoided using any such word which would lead to a shortcoming in respecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's listen to an example of his sensitive nature in regards to writing Islamic things. It's narrated, when he was sent cards which he would write the answer to, and they used to be sent back to the initial inquirer, questioner, Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma knew that these cards would be sent by post, and unfortunately during the transferal of those cards, those letters, via post, there'll be a lot of disrespect because people are not mindful. They'll place those letters on the ground. They'll do all sorts of things which Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma knew of. So what he would do is, when he would write an answer, he would try his utmost every time to not mention the name of Allah directly, or not mention the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or other notable Islamic figures. In fact, he would write the answer in such a way that any verse that he wanted to allude to, he would allude to it without mentioning it explicitly, sarahatan. And when he would want to mention Allah jalla wa ala, he would say, that being who is the creator of all, who sustains all. So he wouldn't mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This shows his high level of ihtiyat, caution, when it comes to writing the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and other Islamic personalities like the Prophets alayhi salatu wasalam. He would ensure that no one could fall into disrespect because of what he writes, and later on, if what he wrote was placed on the floor, they would be guilty of disrespect. Look at this level of thinking. Look at this level of ihtiyat, subhanAllah. Another example of his understanding of the elevated status of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how none was comparable, no one was comparable. We know that people object to Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma even in his time, and they would say that you exaggerate when mentioning the shan of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the excellence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is obviously a false claim. How can you exaggerate? Allah Ta'ala said, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ, and we have raised your rank for you. Who knows how much of, you know, has been raised in terms of rank and status? We can't define that. So when we don't know the intiha of how much Allah has raised the rank of the Prophet ﷺ, how can we cross a boundary? It's a nonsensical thing to say. But nevertheless, Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma would answer people who claimed such, who would object to him in this way. For example, Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma makes a claim in his writings that in creation, us human beings, we can never fully understand the rank of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In his sha'iri, in his poetry, also mentions that. For example, in one particular poem, he says, "Tere to wasf aabe tanahi sahay bari, hairahu mere shah kya kya kahun tujhe." That he's praising the Prophet alaihi wasallam, and then he comes to this point and he says, "Oh beloved, oh master, your praiseworthy attributes and qualities, they are so immense and so abundant that they are even free from the defect of stopping or ceasing." Meaning, when you praise someone, you praise him by mentioning one quality, five qualities, 10 qualities. There'll come a stage where you won't be able to praise him anymore. And this is in fact a defect when you can't praise that person anymore. But Allah Zari Rahma is saying, "Oh beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your maqam is such, your excellence is such that you are free from this ebb of your excellences stopping, ceasing, and coming to an end." Humans can't comprehend the true maqam of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Only Allah Ta'ala can. And he says, "Hairahu mere shah kya kya kahun tujhe." I'm astonished, I'm amazed. I continue to praise you with superlatives. It will never end. But then he says, "Lekin raza ne khatme sukhan is pe kar diya." In the maqta, in the final stanza, he says, "Lekin raza ne khatme sukhan is pe kar diya, khaliq ka banda khalq ka aqa kahun tujhe." Meaning, I have finished my kalam by saying this. I conclude by saying this. This is the conclusion I've reached, that you are the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whereas you are the master of all of creation. You are the master of all of creation, but as for the creator Jalla Jalaluhu, you are his chosen slave and servant. Meaning the distinction, that how can a Muslim ever consider the Prophet ﷺ to be on a par with the Creator Jalla Jalaluhu? This is incorrect. And Allah is answering those people who claim such regarding him, that no, the Prophet ﷺ is a slave, a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as for creation, he is the greatest of them all. He is the master of them all. And this is how he presented his own aqidah, his doctrine, his belief. We know that Allah Ali Rahman spoke and wrote abundantly in regard to the knowledge of the unseen possessed by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the ulum ghaybiya, the ilm al ghayb, unseen knowledge. He wrote many, many books on this topic. So Allah Azza wa Jalla proved without a shadow of doubt that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam possesses great knowledge of the unseen. And he uses the verse of the Quran, وَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. And in light of this verse, he proves that Allah Ta'ala bestowed great knowledge of the unseen to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But look at Allah Hazrat's knowledge. Look at Allah Hazrat's understanding, that Allah Ta'ala's knowledge is beyond comprehension. And he explains this. He says, وَعَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمْ. The verse of the Quran, and he taught you what you did not know. This shows that the Prophet ﷺ has immense knowledge. And we know that in all of creation, no one possesses knowledge like the Prophet ﷺ. But at the same time, Allah Ta'ala's knowledge is beyond our comprehension. It doesn't have a beginning. It doesn't have an ending. Nobody granted it to him. When he gave knowledge to creation, his own knowledge did not decrease. It's limitless. غير متناهي. So many differences between the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the knowledge of creation and the knowledge of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah said, documents this. And he says, you cannot even give an example, a worldly example, when comparing the knowledge of Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You shouldn't even say that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's knowledge is like a drop in the ocean of the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, gather the oceans of the entire world, and you would compare that to the knowledge of Allah, and a drop in that ocean, the knowledge of the Prophet ﷺ. Allah Ali Rahma is saying, no, you cannot even do that. You cannot even say that as an example. Why? Because the oceans will end. The seas, there's a limit to them. There's a number. They're finite. They're not infinite. Whereas the knowledge of Allah is infinite. غير متناهي. لا محدود. Limitless. It's his own knowledge, his dhati knowledge. It wasn't bestowed upon him. Whereas the Prophet ﷺ's knowledge was bestowed upon him. It has a beginning. In the knowledge of Allah, there's an end to that knowledge, or there's a limit to that knowledge. Obviously, creation cannot understand. So Allah Azza Ali Rahma answers those people who falsely claim that he compared the Prophet ﷺ to Allah. He said, this is not possible. Allah's knowledge is so vast, you cannot give any worldly example to even strike a comparison between the knowledge of the Prophet ﷺ, who is the most knowledgeable in creation, and Khaliqi Kainat, the creator of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So where Allah Hazrat spent his entire life defending the honor of the Prophet ﷺ and mentioning his kamalat, he also taught the masses that never compare the Prophet ﷺ to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this was just one example in this regard. This shows his level of adab, ihtiram, respect in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How much he loved Allah, how much he veneration he showed to the dhat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in Fatawa Razviya Sharif, you'll find various examples of this. Moving on, the second most important thing, meaning respecting Allah is foremost. And then in creation, the most honorable is our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is to be shown the greatest level of respect in creation. Allah has lived for this, to uphold the honor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to defend the honor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to refute those who had an incorrect understanding of the maqam of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they denigrated it, ma'adullah. They tried to denigrate it and compare him to a normal man, normal human being. Allah has spent his life refuting such people, trying to make such people understand the error of their ways. Let's look at a few examples. Allah Azza wa Jalla would respect the scholars of his time, and he would respect the previous scholars as well. The former scholars, the latter scholars, the mutaqaddimeen, mutaakhirin. And in his books, he would shower accolades, titles upon the great scholars of Islam in this regard. He wasn't stingy. And even his contemporaries, those who were ahl, worthy, he would shower immense praise upon them. But in particular, those who have passed by, he would show other great level of respect. But that respect was based on what? Hubbur Rasul. Adab for the Prophet ﷺ, respect for the Prophet ﷺ. If he found out that a particular scholar, subhanallah, was engrossed in the love of the Prophet ﷺ, or that scholar wrote something which highlighted the adab that must be shown to the Prophet ﷺ, subhanallah, the love for that scholar would increase in the heart of Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma. And if conversely he found that that requisite required adab was not there, he would sometimes mention that this particular scholar, his viewpoint, because he didn't mention this particular aspect of the hadith, or he didn't mention nothing in relation to Hubbur Rasul, then in my eyes, his respect has fallen slightly. So his mi'yar, his criterion was, how much does a scholar of Islam respect and love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let's look at a few examples. We have a famous scholar of the past, Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi rahimahullah ta'ala. He was from the early period of Islam, soon after Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. He was a great muhaddith, faqih as well, a Hanafi scholar. Now he wrote many renowned books which gained acceptance amongst ulama and awam. And amongst those are two very famous books, Sharh Ma'ani al-Athar and the other one, Mushkil al-Athar. Now, Sharh Ma'ani al-Athar is that book which is taught in the Nizami course, the traditional alim course. In this book, narrations are mentioned, ahadith, and then they explained as well, the meanings of those ahadith are explained. And what rulings are derived from those hadith, that's also mentioned as well. Now, Ala Hazrat Imam Ahl Sunnat has even written a hashiya, marginal notes on this book, Sharh Ma'ani al-Athar. Now, in this hashiya, in one particular passage, Imam Tahawi, when he's discussing the verse of the Quran, Tilka ar-Rusulu faddalna ba'dahum ala ba'd, that these messengers, we have granted superiority to some over others. This verse is in the Quran. And there's so many other ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained his superiority over the rest of the Anbiya alayhimus salam, the rest of the Rasul al-Kiram, the rest of creation, in fact. Now, there are many narrations. For example, I am the master of the children of Adam alayhi salam. Ana sayyidul awwalina wal akhirin. I am the master of the former ones, the latter ones as well. So in these ahadith and similar ahadith, the Prophet alayhi salam mentions his excellence, his greatness over the Anbiya alayhimus salam. There's another hadith, ana hamilu liwa'il hamd, that I will have the flag of praise on the Day of Judgment. People will be beneath my flag of praise. Now, there's other hadith that I will be the first to intercede on the Day of Judgment. So there's so many ahadith regarding the fadila, afdaliya, superiority of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Tahawi, Imam Ajal, Imam Tahawi rahmatullahi alayhi, he narrates a hadith wherein the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not give me superiority over the Anbiya alayhi salam. Now obviously this hadith is explained by other ahadith, and what it actually means is, do not give superiority in a way that you are denigrating the status of another Nabi alayhi salam, or you're disrespecting another Nabi alayhi salam. So that's what's intended here. Otherwise, I've mentioned numerous hadith wherein the Prophet alayhi salam himself said, I'm the master of all the people on the Day of Judgment. And he doesn't have fakhr regarding this. He doesn't boast regarding this. It's not arrogance. It's the ata of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Imam Tahawi mentioned this hadith, but he remains quiet. He doesn't write anything, no explanation. Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma writes a hashiya here, and he says, if it wasn't for another book written by Imam Tahawi wherein he explained this hadith, then the respect I had for Imam Tahawi would have left my heart. If it wasn't the case that I had read the Sahih Tashri of this hadith, and the fact that the Prophet ﷺ is the greatest of all Anbiya ﷺ in his other work, then no doubt the level of respect I had for Imam Tahawi would have disappeared. Allahu Akbar. Look at the mi'yar, look at the criterion. Allah says, you love the Prophet ﷺ and you show that level of respect that's required, then I am yours. I respect you wholeheartedly. But in the first book, Sharh Ma'ani al-Asar, he didn't see anything there. The hadith was quoted, do not give me superiority over the Anbiya alayhi salam, and it wasn't explained. But luckily Allah Hazrat had read the tashreeh of this by Imam Tahawi in another work of his, and he says, because of that, alhamdulillah, the respect I had for this great Imam remained. So what do we learn? That our respect for someone is based on the level of adab towards the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's look at another example. SubhanAllah, Allah's respect for the previous a'imma based on the love for the Prophet alayhi salam. Two major names in Islamic scholarship. One, Allama Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahimahullahu ta'ala, and the other, Allama Badruddin Aini Hanafi rahimahullahu ta'ala. Both were major muhaddithin of their time. They were contemporaries. Allama Aini was a Hanafi, Allama Ibn Hajar Asqalani is a Shafi'i. And both of them wrote a commentary of Sahih Bukhari. Now, Allama Aini's commentary is in 25 volumes, and Ibn Hajar Asqalani's commentary, the famous Fathul Bari, is in 19 volumes. It's published and it's widely available. They are the most authentic commentaries of Sahih Bukhari. Now, both are major scholars of their time. Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma, he mentioned something beautiful. He said, initially, I had more love in my heart, reverence towards Ibn Hajar Asqalani, even though he was a Shafi'i. But there's no ta'assub, there's no prejudice. Ala Hazrat loved Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani, rahmatullahi alayhi, more than Allama Badruddin Aini Hanafi, who's a Hanafi. He said, initially that was the case. But then I read Allama Aini's commentary on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's feces, meaning when the Prophet ﷺ would answer the call of nature and whatever would emit from his body, Allama Aini discusses those narrations and he says, whatever came out from the body of the Prophet ﷺ was pure, was bark. And he discussed that at length. And because this was mentioning the excellence of the Prophet ﷺ and showing his infiradiyat, his uniqueness, his exclusivity, in that normal human beings, that isn't the case with them. But for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is the case. And there are many supporting narrations how the Sahaba, some of them drank the urine of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they weren't rebuked in this regard. And the feces as well. So Allama Aini rahmatullahi alayhi speaks about this. He's a major muhaddis of his time. And he says that they are bark, they are pure. Allah Hazrat Ali rahma says that when I read this discussion of Allama Aini and I saw his unending love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I read one particular statement of Allama Aini, subhanallah, my love for him increased and it became more than my love for Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullahi alayhi. What was that statement? Allama Aini wrote that whoever disagrees with what I have said here regarding the urine, the feces of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then my ears are closed to them. I will not listen to anything from those who doubt what I have written. I believe in what I have written and I am not willing to hear anything against that. You know, other opinions which go against what I have written in light of Quran and Hadith. So whoever declares them as impure, ma'adallah, whoever says wrong things about them, I am not willing to listen to anything regarding that. Alaz Ali Rahma says, these words of Allama Aini, subhanallah, they made me develop a greater level of love and honor for him than for Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullahi alayhi. So look at the mi'yar. The criterion is Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How much adab you have for him, how much respect you have for him. That will determine how much respect you are shown, and that should determine that. And after that, Allah Hazrat wrote an entire work defending that, Allama Aini, from those people who objected to him. He wrote a whole risala regarding this as well. So this was a brief discussion about Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma's adab. In the next episode, we will continue, inshallah. Until then, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those who are respectful and keep us away from those who are disrespectful. Ameen, bijahi Nabi al-Ameen, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Imam Ahmad Ridha, guiding souls with wisdom's grace, guiding souls with wisdom's grace. A grand mujaddid, a cherished embrace. A grand mujaddid, a cherished embrace.